Blog Talk Radio.
The one being that is the everything of us all. We fall into the illusion of being separate from Source, which leads us into the unending circle of belief. In life, there is nothing more than pain and discord, a circle that is our creation when we believe this to be true. Find compassionate understanding for all that creates your pain and discord. Find it within as it is reflected without. Honor and respect the role that they play. They are value you must find in every way for how they are unfolding within your play. As you gain your insights, then their roles have not been in vain, for they grow smaller with each understanding you gain. Life does not allow something to be born in vain.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to A Life of Miracles. We just listened to an amazing, beautiful recording from our new co-host, Linda Iverson. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Denise.
Oh my gosh, it left me speechless. And this is one of your writings. Oh my gosh. You know what I was thinking? How perfect the insights in that, the perceptions in that piece that you've read about the compassionate understanding and just what we've been talking about a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Before we started recording, and how, wow, that just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. You know? I wrote that one on the 24th of February of this year.
Oh, you did? I was going to ask you what inspired that, because I've been really exploring compassionate understanding. And
That was one of the things that Almeen really expressed a lot at our private retreat that we had the end of October here in Red Deer, and how you can't have anything that's in vain, because the one life won't support it. Everything has a purpose, and it's when we allow ourselves to hold that compassion and understanding for what we perceive to be dark or hard things in our lives and all those things. It's having to go deep within to find the reason for it and to bless it and honor it for its help to create who and what we are in this moment.
Yeah. And also for ourselves, right? Like it's oftentimes we're our own worst enemy. We beat ourselves up, and to remember to have that divine compassionate understanding for our own being. It's amazing. Wow.
I know there was a poem that I learned a long time ago back in the 70s when I was still in high school, and it was, "Never accept guilt. The only two reasons someone lays it on you is to hurt you or control you, and neither is worth your consideration." And it was a poem that stuck with me. I never, ever forgot it, but it's so true, and it's how we beat ourselves up. We place more guilt on ourselves than anybody outside of us ever could.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you recognize you're doing that to yourself, if you take that moment to go, okay, so what part of myself am I trying to hurt, or what part am I trying to control? Then it allows you to go deeper within yourself to find those answers.
Wow. Yeah, it's true. And I always say to people too, well, if you don't do things that make you feel guilty, that helps.
Yeah.
If it's going to make you feel guilty, well, then maybe you shouldn't do it.
That's right. But it's also finding out why you should feel guilty.
Yeah.
Is it because of somebody else's perceived perception of what you're supposed to be like or how you're supposed to act?
Yeah.
Is it is it how we control ourselves to not do certain things or whatever, So.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah. And, it's exploring, and questioning that we get the deeper insights.
Yes.
Definitely. But that was a wonderful, wonderful piece. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Sharing it. And thank you for stepping up to the plate and taking this new adventure on.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm following your lead. You're a very good guide. So I felt comfortable doing it because you're doing such a wonderful job. I figured it would be no problem. So.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. We are very grateful. Now, I was hoping, because, I know you've worked a lot with getting the new Book of Runes together, which is still in the process of coming out.
It is getting closer because they put it in the newsletter.
I know. I'm so excited. And the artwork is exquisite, like the paintings of light that are there. Oh, so vibrant. So, I was really happy to see that in Almeen's newsletter. And for anybody who is not getting that, it's free. It comes out once a week. From Spiritual Journeys, and you can certainly sign up at www.spiritualjourneys.com and get more information on it. But it's great to keep up with the updates from Almeen and Spiritual Journeys.
Yes.
So I was hoping we could maybe talk a little bit about the new Garoons and is there anything from your perspective in working with it, putting it together that you
can
share
with us? With all the, you were commenting on the artwork and stuff, Almeen created all of the artwork as the backgrounds for each page of the book. So I know they were shared. Some of them were shared on the IM course, but they were all created by her for the backgrounds for each page.
They're so vibrant.
They are very beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're absolutely amazing. So I was thinking maybe we could talk a bit about that. And I know with the Book of Runes, like the first part of it talks a lot about the chakra system.
Right.
And
its main purpose is to the activation of the inner and outer senses,
which we have. Is it?
Which is the way they work is there to help dissolve the enslaving programs of our belief systems. So as we're working with the runes, each deck represents a certain field, right?
Yeah.
Perception, field of perception. Like your first deck, which is the shamanism, which is your deck. The first deck is the white tiger. So that deck of cards works with shamanism.
The white tiger deck. So now, Linda, is this different than what's in, like, Labyrinth of the Moon?
Yes, they are a different, they
it's
are
a different,
different order. Yeah.
Are they the same runes?
They're
though?
The same runes, yeah.
But
at the
up.
Time, but at the time that they were given to Russia, because they were given to Russia quite a bit ahead of our getting them.
Yeah.
And when they started working with them, that was the order in which they were given, like that at that time. And you know how Almain always says, yesterday's truth is no longer right. It's no longer today's truth.
Yeah.
That's where those things, because I know that there was a bit of confusion as to whether maybe they'd been put in the wrong order in the Ruin Book.
Right.
And I know when Almain was in Russia just before Christmas, that was all clarified and made, you know, clear that this is the order. It goes the white tiger, then the mother's libraries, then the sacred butterfly, the white rose, the blue light, and then the last two decks that nobody knows about because they're only a part of this book are the fields of perception of godhood, which is the lion's gate.
Yeah.
And then the last one is the field of perception of unfolding journey, which is
the living
library.
Yeah. Wow. So each set, which there's 96 runes in each.
Right. So that gives you a total of 672 runes.
Right. So each one represents one of the chakras?
Yes.
Is that why it's in that order?
I think shamanism is dealing with your physical,
the
right?
The root. Yeah.
The root.
Yeah.
And then, so I think that's the order in which they were going. The only one that I had wondered about was where you've got 6 and 7 are your visceral response of the organs.
Yeah.
And then the automatic response of the skin
right.
as number 7. I was under the impression that we've always talked about the sixth sense, you know, how the hair stands up on the back of your
mm-hmm.
neck and all those things, and that the response of the organs was the seventh one. But in this book, they've got them reversed. I guess it doesn't really matter one way or the other, but I was wondering if it made a difference with the chakras, but apparently it doesn't. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because I know we've always spoken about the sixth sense and that stuff, but it wasn't, you know, but then again, you say you have your gut response, you know, like your stomach,
yeah.
So it's been around too. So I guess they all kind of are interchangeable, I guess.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. That's an interesting point. But I wonder, because I remember in the retreat in October, our last retreat here with
mm-hmm.
Almain in Toronto, we did a lot of work with the chakras. And there was something about, you know, because they interpret the information from the outer and the inner senses. And I think like each inner sense has 96.
They have 96 internal senses that can
yeah.
be described as feelings, inner
right.
ripples that stir us.
So I remember there was something with the sixth and the seventh, the sixth being the third eye and the seventh being the crown,
the
pineal.
Yeah,
there was something that they were backwards or not interpreting correctly that had to be changed. So I wonder if maybe that had something to do
that
with...
That could be why those changed. I don't know.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, lots of information, I'm sure, to come out about them when it's released and everybody is diving into it.
Well, I have noticed on Ascension that there are quite a few people that have made their own sets of Ruin cards, like from the Labyrinth of the Moon. They've made copies and stuff, and some have put them on rocks and some have done cards. And it's, I think it would be really interesting to see how they're finding the work that they've done with them and what their experiences have been.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, I know what have you found working with them?
I found with mine, the way I made my cards was I made them so that it was just a number, so I knew what number each card was for each deck, but I didn't put what the concept was on it. So I'm working with the rune itself, the symbol of the rune, and then I usually do that. I'll go through the full deck and I'll do that for 5 days, and then I will go back and go through them again and get the concept and reference what it is I've gotten just by working with the rune itself and the sigil, as opposed to the concept, and see where I feel it in my body and how I interpret it without having the mind as a part of it to begin with. And I found it's really quite interesting and quite powerful.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And I know for some of the sets, actually, you just have the runes. There's not a little definition with it or anything.
What I did was I did all the decks, and then I made a little manual that has the concepts for each deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's
how I work.
Brilliant. So just to give an example of what we're talking about, if anybody is not familiar with the runes or with working with them, I did, before we started our radio show, I did ask, you know, for a message for our listeners tonight. So I opened up it because I don't have them printed out yet. I don't know. For some reason, I'm waiting till I get the time and the creative inspiration to put something together. But I will. One of these days, I will get them printed out.
And, you will.
Yeah. So I opened up the page, and this is what we got. So the first rune is relationship. And these are from the Sacred Order of the Butterfly. So we have the rune is relationship, and it says friendship or a partner of destiny is at hand. It could also mean the renewal through enhanced awareness of an existing relationship. And then we have sovereignty. Action needs to be taken from your highest identity as a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. Then we have heritage. When right side up, you are reminded of the gifts of ancestral or star lineages that are available to you. And then the fourth one was call to destiny. In every life, key moments present themselves like doorways. Sometimes great courage is required to step over the edge of the cliff. Now, personally, I can see how they totally are relevant for me right now.
Yeah, they're quite relevant for me as well.
So hopefully for our listeners out there, there's relevance, divinely guided messages from the Butterfly Libraries. I love just playing with these. I really do. I find the information is so accurate and, you know, profound. And what I love about them is they're relevant to what's right now in the moment.
Yes.
Not last week or next week or it's now.
Yes.
And I love that. So I would you say the first step though in really getting comfortable and you know, incorporating the runes into your, would be to like focus on clearing the chakras?
I think it's whatever way you're guided to do them. I don't think there's any set way. I don't know that clearing the chakras is necessarily, because everything, if that's your intention, the chakras are definitely important in doing stuff. But if we take a focus and make it the main part of it, sometimes we tend to not follow our guidance.
Mm. Yeah.
Anything that I've done, I've always used my inner guidance as my step to how to work with it. I don't know that anybody works with them the way that I do, by not you know, but that's just the way I was guided to do once they came into my existence, was like, oh, they need, for me, it was wanting to integrate each one of the sigils that are on the cards, each one of the runes into my being, and recognizing where it resides within me, as we are each one of us that part of the infinite being, that where that part resides within our physical being. And they're all gateways. There's 672 gateways to the inner space, like into the combination of the inner and outer senses.
Yes.
But the chakras are definitely a good place to start.
Well, I think for myself, I feel if the chakras are not functioning properly, if there's, you know, if we're carrying programs, belief systems, debris in there, then it's like the channels of communication are not as maybe open and clear as they could be.
And that's where working with the oils. The oils can be very, very beneficial in allowing you to help clear those.
The oils, yeah.
Yeah, the meridians.
Oh my gosh, the oils are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is, I know our sister Anita had put together a beautiful program with the chakras and had the sigils with the affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
That you use with the oils, it's wonderful. It is, it's great. It's also part of the Sabahut, though.
Right.
Clearing the seven chakras.
Right. Yeah. The Sabahut is very interesting in the whole movement of it and everything. I remember when we were on the cruise, the girls were doing it when they went out to dance. They were out on the dance floor doing the movements of the Sabahut.
That's right, they were.
Yeah, they did it a couple times that I saw.
Yeah, I didn't see them doing it, but I did
hear
about
it. It was actually quite interesting. They did get other people to join in doing it, not knowing what they were doing, but yeah.
Can you imagine start a new dance craze called the Sabahut?
Well, that's what Connie and them pretty much did there for a couple nights on the cruise ship anyway.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's, yeah.
Yeah, it was,
well,
good.
Who knows? Maybe maybe they start a new craze. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, what else was I going? I was going to ask you something about the runes. And now I forgot.
Because it says here, evolving in the email that we got with the newsletter, it says evolving into higher consciousness, the metamorphosis of the chakra system. There are seven quantum fields available to man, seven different realities or dimensions. Not only is this the case in the macrocosm, but also in man, the microcosm. Where these manifest as the seven bodies of man, each field relays subtle information which is received by the seven chakras. Consciousness is determined by how much information we can access from life around and within us. In the moment, the proper higher function of the chakras to download information to the endocrine system are therefore essential for consciousness. The debris of old trauma and programs blocking the chakras and distorting their proper functions caused the following problems that disrupted our ability to access interdimensional and subtle information. So then it goes on to describe how the disruption of the higher functions of the chakras, the pineal gland and the crown chakra, have had to take on functions that they were not designed to do. The interpretation of the subtle information received from all seven chakras. And I remember Almeen saying to us, you remember her telling us in our class that the third eye, what they were seeing, was reversed.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Because that was a function the pineal wasn't meant to be doing.
Right. It should be taking information from all seven fields, not just one.
And it says the language of the chakras was incomprehensible to the pineal gland, with the exception of the sixth chakra or third eye. The pineal gland could understand the third eye's images, except for the fact that it was receiving the images upside down. The reason for this is found in the brain. The brain was the mediator for the messages from the pituitary gland, the third eye, to the pineal. It was accustomed to inverting the images of the eyes, which appear upside down on the retina. Excuse me. It also inverted the images of the third eye.
Mm. So that makes it, so you're getting the images, but then that can kind of distort the interpretation.
Right. Yeah, that's what it says here. Reason many psychics receive information well, but do not always interpret it clearly. Seers are those who have a completely silent mind. They have no more accurate information because it comes from effortless knowing, bypassing the brain altogether. 7 levels of light enter the chakras. It cannot immediately assimilate and download into the endocrine system because the blockage is acidic pH is present. This occurs in the cells of a person who hasn't overcome the past and holds on to that which no longer serves him.
See, wow.
So that's where the importance of clearing the chakras that you were saying is.
Yeah. And also, too, I remember Almaine saying, you know, how important it is not to bring the past, like to hold on to the past.
Right.
To create the new reality that which we've been talking about, and I think, you know, many people are experiencing a new reality right now.
Yeah.
But how important it is not to bring the past with you into that. And it doesn't mean that you forget, you know, all your loved ones or, you know, any of that. It just means you bring the highest version of your memories, but not the baggage.
Right. And part of that I have found in my life is that it's coming to that space of recognizing in the moment that you really do know nothing. And that's something that Almaine has always, you know, emphasized, is that that's the key, is to saying that you know nothing.
Yeah.
Because we have a tendency to automatically, because someone's been in our life for so long, to automatically assume that we know them. But how can you know something that's ever evolving and ever changing in every moment? You can't.
Yeah.
Unless in that moment you think you know them. So you're locked in that, you've locked them into that box of what your belief is.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we do that, like, not even thinking. Like,
yeah,
it's just
not even
a
on a
habit.
Conscious level.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for saying that.
But it's becoming consciously aware of our thoughts. That's the key to helping to not bring the past into your new moment. It's being conscious of your thoughts.
And being fully present.
Yes.
Just in the moment. So,
yeah.
But, I think it's amazing how we both had experiences recently where, you know, we're just seeing a brand new reality, and how amazing and vibrant and alive everything is.
Yeah, like I was saying to you, how I'd gotten pink eye last week, and then coming home from Calgary yesterday with my daughter driving, it was like it was a whole different highway that I was traveling down. Everything was so crisp and so pristine and so vibrant, and it's like, I was seeing stuff that, I mean, I've driven that highway quite a bit. I'm always the passenger, so I'm not having to not look at stuff. And it's like, wow, when did that show up? I don't remember ever seeing that. And it's like, I'm asking my daughter, how long has that been? She said, well, it's been there a couple of years, Mom. It's like, oh, I just don't ever remember seeing it.
Yeah, it's funny because I've had exactly the same experience where, you know, buildings are showing up and, actually, even Jim had it. We were walking Lucy, and he's like, oh, when did they put up that sign? I'm like, Jim, that sign was put up 3 years ago when they redid the plaza. No.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then he pointed something out in the sign that I'd never seen before. So we were laughing that, oh, I see we're in this brand new reality, Jim.
Yeah, and it's really quite, that was the other thing that I noticed yesterday on the drive home, was everything was so bright and pristine and vibrant, but it also, as you know, like the farm fields, and as we're driving, it's like they go on for infinity. It looked like they were never ending, which is something I'd never noticed before.
Yeah. And, I've had the same feeling, like, at the lake.
Yeah, it's like it goes forever. It's never ending.
Yeah, it feels that it goes on for eternity. There's no edge to it. And it's stunning. The beauty is, like, it takes my breath away. It really does. Stunning. So.
And I think part of that is because we are joining those inner and outer senses and becoming the one. So we're more in tune with everything that's around us.
Yes. That's good. And I think my feeling is too, because we both had this where, you know, we really feel the changes that's been taking place in the earth. I have a strong suspicion that it has something to do with everybody doing the Cornish Bob Hospital is having a big effect.
Well, it can't help but have.
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah, so it feels so magical and miraculous to be able to, you know, physically experience these amazing images and feelings and different experiences in our environment, our everyday life. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you look at here where they're talking about the runes, how there are the seven outer senses that have the physical response to the outer world. First one being smell, which is a sense that has never fallen into duality. Then you got the taste, the sight, the hearing, touch. Then the visceral response of the organs, and then the skin. And it's funny, I've found that that's starting to show up in my writings. And how it's talking about how you can taste the sun. And you can hear the rose, the smell of the rose, and really interesting.
That's like the alchemical poetry, isn't it?
I guess. I just remember that being part, as I was reading this here, I just remember that being part of one of the writings that I did. I must have been Thursday or Friday, I don't know.
I don't
tend to read them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have it here, but I don't know whether it's finished or not. I just kind of left it. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, please. I'd love to hear it.
Goes, a pregnant pause is all that it takes to change the focus of where you are in the moment to where your inner knowing creates the path you can follow to the magic that abounds in the infinite one life. As your sight becomes the tool you now use to hear the beauty of nature that is all around you, your hearing becomes a sight that allows you to see the beauty as you feel the caress as it envelops your being. You can taste the color of the rose as you breathe in the splendor of its smell. When you combine all of these tools, they allow your connection to all that surrounds you to create the awareness that you are all there is. You are the rose and the splendor of its scent. You are the flavor of the sun as it warms everything up on the taste of your tongue.
Wow. Oh, my God, Linda, that's amazing. I feel changed by hearing that.
I think I wrote that on Thursday. I can't remember for sure. It was Thursday or Friday last week. And like I said, I don't read my stuff. I think I read it yesterday, and it was like, not sure if it's finished or not, but it's like... It was funny how, and that's the kind of the sense that I had yesterday driving home. It was like, I don't know if that's what part of the crispness was, is experiencing the senses, the tools in a different way.
Yeah, it definitely feels that. Like, what was the first part, seeing with...
About experiencing taking a pregnant pause, which I found was interesting that the word pregnant... A pregnant pause is all it takes to change the focus of where you are in the moment to where your inner knowing creates the path you can now follow to the magic that abounds in the infinite one life. It's birthing a new reality, right?
Yeah, so that's totally. The fertile possibilities are right there if we just, you know, shift our focus.
Yeah, and use our senses differently. by combining the inner and outer senses, it allows us to.
Well, there was some. You said something about seeing.
As your sight becomes the tool yes. you now use to hear the beauty of the nature that is all around you.
Right.
Your hearing becomes
your hearing.
The sight.
Yes.
That allows you to see the beauty as you feel the caress as it envelops your being. You can taste the color of the rose as you breathe in the splendor of its smell.
See, I find that very profound.
Yeah.
And I know I've been getting messages through the heart of the rose. There's things happening. So, wow.
No.
That's remarkable. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Very welcome. Thank you for asking me to share it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's very inspiring. So do you know the different spreads for using the runes? Have you worked with any of that?
With the spreads? Yeah. I haven't really done the spreads, no, because I've been trying to incorporate each set of rune into my being. So I haven't done the spreads, that part, yeah. for myself. But I do know that there are two different spreads that can be done with the cards that are a part of the rune book.
Yeah, there's two?
There's two different ones. Yeah, there's one layout that gives you, if I remember correctly, where you're using, it gives you yes, no answers. And then there's another spread where you've got just message.
Yeah.
It's not a question. But, well, so that's part of the book. So, yeah, it'll be. It's really wonderful the way it's set up, and the information is just amazing.
I can't wait. Like, truly, I'm so excited. So, now, does the Book of Runes have the initiation?
For the runes, no. The initiation for the runes, I think that information is all in the Bridge of No Time.
Okay. So that will come after?
So you're speaking about the initiation, like we got the master in when we were on the cruise?
Yeah.
Those, I'm not 100% sure exactly how that's going to unfold, whether that will be, because if I remember correctly, Almeen said that the initiation for the runes isn't something that could be done self-initiation.
Right. Yes.
So I'm not sure how that will unfold or whether they'll do it in a...
Yeah.
Online course. I'm not sure how it will.
But you can still this book, even if you're not initiated.
Because it states right at the very beginning that the power of this book will work even if it's not read.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
The entire purpose of the book is the full activation of inner and outer senses. So
it'll be a new book to go under my pillow.
But I mean, it's so. I think, in my understanding and the way I've felt them as I've worked with them, is that each one is that sentient being, right? That
yes.
gateway that allows us. So as we open each one of those gateways, it's a form of our initiating ourselves into the beauty and the magic of what they are.
That's a good way to explain it.
I mean, do we have the initiation per se? No. But, I mean, that will be something that spiritual journeys will put together in some form or some means to facilitate for all of the students.
Yeah. And
I'm
we of course look forward to that. But I find that interesting. Do you find these runes are like little beings?
I do,
alive
yeah.
and yeah, me too. I experienced them that way, like the oils too, the fragrance alchemy oils.
Yes,
I experienced that way too.
Yeah. I find they all have a and you know it's funny because some people say, well, I can't feel anything. I don't know, like, and that part of that was my struggle. I'd have somebody that would be sitting beside me and they were just like, ooh, and on and everything about, and it's like, either I'm not connected or I don't know. But it was allowing myself to recognize that I do it in a totally different manner than somebody else that could.
Yeah.
It started that way for me before Almeen with, I have a friend that owned a rock and gem store.
Mm.
And I couldn't always, and they were ooh and on over the feel of this rock or whatever, but I could hear them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know exactly how to. And I could be standing there and somebody would walk in and all of a sudden I'd start talking and it would be exactly what they'd come in to find out.
Wow.
So it was that, you know, but I never ever understood how that worked or how I knew it, or it's like, oh, I didn't know I knew that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, Linda, because, you know, it is, it's very important not to compare, you know, because each one of us is in our own unique reality and
that's
our
right.
own gifts. And
we are our own unique expression of one life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I marvel at people who can hear, and because I don't always hear clearly. Like,
I don't
for
either.
Me,
I remember asking Albie about the stuff. I said, well, I can hear stuff, but it's the pitch is so high, I can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you don't really want to hear with your ears. You want to hear with your being. Because if you hear with your ears, how are you going to know what they're saying?
Yes.
You don't know the language. You don't know where it's allowing yourself to expand enough to become it as well as all of everything. It allows you to, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah,
it just,
no, it's
sometimes
true.
It just happens. And it's like, wow, did that really just happen?
I know. It's
But I find, do you find your dog is an indicator of spirit being around?
Oh, totally. I've had so many, well, I mean, we all laugh. Anybody who knows Lucy knows she's not really a dog. But, yeah, Lucy's an amazing, she is an amazing being, actually. But, yeah, she tells me.
Yeah, like my dog, she'll be laying there and she'll be looking. And I've got a picture of my mother who passed away. It'll be a year in May. But she'll sit and she'll look at that picture, and then all of a sudden she'll dart and go, you know, it's almost like, and then there's a space in my kitchen. Sometimes there's, I don't know whether it's fairies. I have a lot of fairies in my house, so I don't know if that's what it is or what. But she will not go past that fridge to get into the kitchen or come out. And I've got her laminate floors, so she skids wherever she's going. But you can always tell when something's shifted.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times they play with her, and it's like, I'm not really in a playing mood right now, so leave me alone.
I want to sleep. Yeah, no, Lucy, she's very, she is very intuitive. Like for the radio shows, when I'm recording the radio show, she knows. She comes, she snuggles up on the floor on her mat, but as soon as it's close to time to being done, she's up, she's at the door, okay, we done, ready to go.
They're very amazing.
Yeah. She loves, I play, you know, of course, all the sound elixirs and Almeen all the time, so she's like totally into that. She sleeps with the Kriya Vaspita angels. I have the sigils in her bed. She sleeps with them.
You know, one of the tools that I used a lot, and I still have, is that when you go on the store for the sound healing, there's the power of emotion and the power of silence. I use those ones a lot. Those two CDs that you can purchase as an MP3 download.
Yeah.
Those ones are very powerful tools to help if you're working on your chakra system and doing that stuff, because I found them to be very powerful.
Yeah.
That one and the one for forgiveness.
The the other one I was thinking too was the one you shared, I think was on the Bhav Aspital radio show.
The Black Cell. Yeah, that one was from our retreat.
That one is amazing for...
See, and the only way anybody can get that is through you now.
Or you.
Or me. But I mean through the radio show, because it's not available anywhere else on the website anywhere.
Yeah, and actually we did get a lot of requests for that, so I just had one actually recently from Sylvia, who was at... She said she was at the retreat in Red Deer, and had been really wanting the meditation, but I guess she hadn't recorded it. So she was very delighted and, you know, lots of gratitude to you, Linda, for sharing it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so, you know, it's still out there, people still requesting it, and we're always happy to share. But what I love about that meditation is it's going down.
She's taking you the seven levels down through each field of perception.
Yeah, it's very powerful, actually.
Yeah, and so what it does is it's working with the membranes and all the different, and that's where Almeen has always said that when you're coming back, that's where it's the toughest, is to come back through the membranes, because that's where all the forgetfulness takes place.
Yeah. But, so I find that's very powerful. And we also have, there is a 10-minute recording that Almeen did for the chakra clearing, which I believe was, she first did it in Toronto, and we're like, oh my God, Almeen, this is brilliant. Can you record this? And then she recorded it, and it was available on the I Am Presence. So maybe we'll play that at the, you know, to sing us out.
There you go.
Do a chakra clearing to.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
For the end of our show. So lots of amazing tools to work with, and lots of, you know, it's great just to have some new material to look forward to as well.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So.
And it's interesting, the stuff that was just prior to. It was all going so quickly that it was like, wow, because I remember trying to think how we were going to get everything done by the deadline, and it's coming. It's interesting.
Well, I'm, you know, happy and delighted that you got to work on that, Linda. And I know it was, you were volunteering your time, which I'm sure Almeen is extremely grateful for, in Spiritual Journeys. I know we all are. So.
No, it was my honor to be able to do it.
Yeah, thank you.
Because when you recognize the value, that what a beautiful and wonderful gift it is, because, like, I mean, it's really hard to wrap your head around it, like where it says here in the newsletter that we got, that the 672 runes are in a very specific order, and each has a specific value. So each set of them forms an alchemical equation. And then jointly, they form a leveraged result, which is that combining of the inner and outer senses.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you know, like, oh.
It is. Oh, my gosh, I totally agree. It's such an honor to be able to work with this material. It's so sacred. And, you know, for treating it with such reverence and respect, it's inspiring.
And I find for me, sometimes it allows that inner child to play, because it's like, okay, I'll draw this one, and then I put it there, and it's like, I don't know, it's like when you were a kid and you used to.
Oh my God, I totally agree. I mean, for all of these tools Almeen has, that's what I feel like. I get to play. Like, this is fun for me, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's recognizing, you know, like that in that play, there is a huge sacredness and a privilege that's a part of it. But there is that.
Not to take it for granted.
But also to recognize that, you know, there's huge value in playing.
Oh, that's a whole other show.
Yeah,
for sure. The fairies have a lot to say about that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Well, okay, my love, we are just about at the end of our show, so we will leave everybody with the chakra clearing with our beloved Almeen, which we hope you enjoy. And thank you, Linda, for this sacred hour. And I've so much joy and gratitude in my heart.
Thank you so very much for asking me.
And we will be back next week.
Sounds good. You have a good week.
Thank you. You too. And thank you to everyone for listening in. We're grateful and we welcome your comments. And thanks for listening. Praise, love, gratitude, and trust.
Great evolutionary changes are happening in the chakras of all beings on Earth. It is very necessary that we cleanse the chakra system so that as this happens, all debris does not get dumped on our doorstep. As we prepare for this meditation, place yourself in a comfortable position, arms and feet uncrossed, and breathe deeply to get rid of any tension in the body. If you need to localize your breath, if there's a tense spot, pretend as you breathe that it's breathing out through the skin in that spot. Envision a ball of white light behind the navel, about the size of a grapefruit. And now you will also need, about the size of a golf ball, an envisioned ball of light, the color of purpley pink, a fuchsia color, very dense light, very bright. This little ball, as I tell you the number of the chakra, will move in and out of the chakra, clearing the plug that's in the middle by the pranic tube. It will move in, dissolve it, move back out. As we do the meditation, I will simply alert you to first chakra, second chakra, heart chakra, crown, whatever the case may be. And as I say the chakra, send this little pinkish ball with some purple in it, strong light into that specific chakra. There also is a time that you will envision as little bells sound in the music, fingers moving from head to toe through your body, getting rid and carrying with them all the loosened and excess debris that the little light has not dissolved. The fingers will move right through the body, not just through the chakra system or the pranic tube. They rake through the body, cleansing with them all debris that is no longer necessary and that manifests as linear time in areas of the body. I will say fingers cleansing, and then you envision that. Or I will say a chakra number, and you envision the little ball of light going into that chakra. Get yourself relaxed. Deep breaths in and out. When we start the music, envision yourself floating down a sun-warmed, lazy river. Just floating wherever the river takes you. Above you there is sky and trees overhanging the river. Birdsong in the trees on a sunny summer day. Just begin to envision it. Imagine now a whirlwind of light surrounding you as you float. Heart chakra, third chakra, second chakra, third, second, third, second, root, second, third, heart. fingers comb through your body. And again. And again. You're floating in the golden sunlight. Birdsong and water and sky. Fingers going through and through and through again. You will feel some pressure start to burst. In the white ball of light behind the navel, it's growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it explodes.